from the Orlando Christian Center in Orlando, Florida. The following is another dynamic teaching tape with Benny Hinn, pastor and teacher, author and healing evangelist. At the close of this tape, we'll tell you about hundreds of life-changing messages on both audio and videotape by Benny Hinn.
The Bible says that God has a plan for every life. Even before you were born, God planned your life. So Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and verse 5 declares, go ahead, Fred, please.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
So here we see God's plan for Jeremiah. He planned even before he was born, even before Jeremiah was born. And now the moment you and I are born again, that's when we discover God's plan. God's plan really is there for us before we're even born as infants. But the moment we're born again, we discover it. And God's perfect will for our lives is not given to us in a moment. It's a process. We get to know it as we walk with Him. We get to know it as we become sensitive to His guidance. Now, let's establish a number of facts, very important things here. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to look at one portion of God's Word. And there's something so very important in that portion of God's Word. Verse 18 is one of the most important verses I can give you about the will of God. May I say the most important statement I may be making today or in the next few weeks will be this one about God's will. Don't miss what I'm about to give you. This is the greatest key that you and I must have in discovering God's perfect will for our lives. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, go ahead, Fred.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
I want you to take a pen and underline the words in your Bible, and those watching us in your homes, underline the words in your Bible, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Those words, underline them. For in that, in these few words, is contained the greatest key. One more time, friend.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
In other words, the will of God is found only in Christ Jesus. You cannot find God's will for your life if you are outside Christ Jesus. You cannot find God's will for your life if you're not born again. You cannot find God's will for your life if you're not living in Christ. So the will of God for our lives is found in Christ, not outside Christ. Is that clear? So as a Christian, you can know God's will for your life. But if you're not born again, there's no way you can find out God's will for your life. So step number one, get saved. Step number one, come into Christ. Step number one, be baptized into Christ. Without Jesus, no one will know God's will. So God's will is not known to any other religion. God's will is not known where the heathen are. God's will is not revealed to those living outside of Christ. Only those in Christ will know the mind of God. Very clear, isn't it? Number two. Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2. And this is another key. Now remember the first key. You have to be in Christ. Outside of Christ, you cannot know, you cannot know God's will for your life. So now today we're just laying the foundation. This is a series that's going to help you, establish you, strengthen you, And today we're laying the foundation. Very important. Okay, Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2. I want you all to look at your Bibles as Fred reads, you in your homes. Have your Bible with you, please. If you don't have it, go get it right now, even while I'm speaking. Go get your Bible. And look with us, Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Fred, please.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
All right. Second key. God's will for your life is always good. God's will for your life is always good. If it's not good, it's not God. This is a very important thing, you understand. If it's not good, it's not God. In other words, if you're not experiencing good now, you're outside of God's will. If you're hit with tragedies and disasters and problems all the time and there's no peace in your heart, you're not in God's will. Where God's will is, there's good. Where God's will is, there's what? There's what? There's what? Say, if it's not good, it's not God. Say it again. So you look at a situation and say, it's bad, it's not God. If there's good, if there are blessings, you see, if you're in God's perfect will, there'll always be blessings. And we're talking about spiritual blessings. We're talking about spiritual good. And some of you may say, well, this is bad. No, we're talking about spiritually good and bad, not naturally good and bad. Because in the natural, good and bad are always there. But we're talking about the condition of the heart, our spiritual condition. Saints, if demons are all around you, it's not good. If demons are influencing you, it's not good. If oppression is all over you, it's not good. Those who live in the will of God are free from oppression. Free from demonic influence. Free from demonic pressure and attacks. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, if you're in the perfect will of God, it's good. Your heart is at peace. All is well with your soul. Oh yeah, you may have loss in the natural. You may even lose a loved one. But all is well with your soul. That's what I mean by good. Say, if it's not good, it's not God. Now, something else. And this is very important. Ephesians 5, turn to it, please, and verse 17. Are you all clearly understanding what we're talking about here? Okay. Ephesians 5:17 gives us the third key, and we're laying the foundation now. We're laying the foundation. We got the third key to look at now. In Ephesians 5:17, we read these words. So Fred is going to read for us. Go ahead, please.
Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
That's very important. Be ye not unwise. Don't be unwise. But understand what the will of the Lord is. One more time, Frank.
Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
In other words, key number three, you must look for it. You must look for it. You must search for it. To find God's perfect will for your life, first, you must be in Christ. Secondly, you must know the good and the bad. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's not. Our God is a good God. He doesn't send evil your way. doesn't send demons your way, doesn't send anything your way to destroy you. And thirdly, we must look for it. For the Bible says, don't be unwise, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, you gotta know it. Gotta know it. So, say after me, all of you, please. And I want you to repeat the scripture because I want you to remember it now. Let's memorize the scripture. Say 1 Thessalonians.
1 Thessalonians 5:18.
Says, the will of God, is found in Christ. And that's clear, isn't it? And what's the verse?
1 Thessalonians 5:18.
Wonderful. Now, say after me, Romans.
12:2
says,
God's will
is good. What's the scripture?
12:2.
Oh, you're wonderful. Now, say after me, Ephesians
5:17
says,
I must know it.
What's the scripture?
Ephesians 5:17.
Now, these three truths I've given you are the foundation. It's in Christ, it's good, let's find it. It's in Christ and it's good, let's look for it. Now, do also know that these who are worldly cannot find it. Because Romans 12:2 says, look at it again, Romans 12:2, let's go back to Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. If you're conformed to this world, you'll never know God's will. For he just said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. So unless you've been renewed in your mind, you'll never find it. One more time, Fred, read the scripture for us, Romans 12:2.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing.
So unless you are transformed, you can't know it. He just said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Go on, Fred.
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will.
So, he said, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed as you renew your mind. And how do you renew your mind? By knowing God on a daily basis, by reading his word on a daily basis, by communing with him on a daily basis. Continual communion and continually being fed by the word will renew the mind. When that happens, he says that. The result will be, you'll prove, you'll know what is God's acceptable, good, and perfect will for you. All right, now, let's also establish something else. God has a perfect will for your life and a permissive will. He has what? And?
Permissive.
So God sometimes will allow you to do something because you keep asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And just like any father would say, okay, go do it. While you in your heart know it's not God's will. But because you want it so bad, because you will not give up, he'll give you your request. It's all right, darling, I'm preaching now. All right. Romans 12:2 talks about the perfect will. Because he just said the perfect will of God. You saw there, didn't you? Look at verse 2 again of Romans 12. Be not conformed. Come on, read with me. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that.
Good.
Hold it. First, it's good, right? And then it's acceptable to God, right? And it's what?
Perfect.
It's what?
Perfect.
Louder.
Perfect.
Good. Perfect will of God. So God has a perfect will. Let's look at God's permissive will, can we? Because that happens so often. So many people get into God's permissive will. And God's permissive will, God will permit you to do something. He'll let you do it. But the result will be great loss. All right, go to Psalm 106, 106. We're going to look at verse 10 right through verse 15. And we're going to look at God's permissive will, which, may I say, sadly, a lot of people are in. Let's look Psalm 106, verse 10, right through verse 15. Listen as Fred reads.
And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy.
God's word is talking about Israel that was saved from the hands of the Egyptians, and how God rescued them from the enemy.
And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed they his words, and they sang his praise.
Wonderful, isn't it? I mean, just like you and I, when we were saved, we rejoiced in God's goodness and salvation. Wonderful. Let's keep going, Fred.
They then believed his words and sang his praise. They soon forgot his works.
Ah, stop. That's when the trouble began. They first rejoice in God's goodness and mercy. How many of you remember the day when you were born again? Let me see your hands. Do you remember how excited you were? How you went to church every Sunday? Never missed one prayer meeting. Every time the church door opened, well, there you were, ran down, got to the front row. That's what they were like. But they soon forgot. That's when the trouble begins. My friend, if you ever lose the joy of your salvation, that's step number one to disaster. That's why David prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." If you have lost that fire, if you've lost the first love, trouble is on the way. Oh, Benny Hinn, how do I fix it? You know how to fix it. I have to tell you, you know how to fix it. Get back to the spot you left. When was the last time you prayed? How about reading your Bible? How many Sundays have you missed from church? I'm stepping on your toes. Saints, let's not forget. It's our job to keep the fire burning. It's there for us, but if we don't want it. One of the greatest saints, R. E. Torrey, and I've read all of his books, and I love reading his books, talks about how when you lose that fire, what happens to your heart. You know what he said? He said, we go from one to the second to the third level, and when we reach the third, we're in trouble. And here's what he said. He said, first, we'll go dry. We'll dry up. The moisture of God's presence leaves our life. He said, then, hear this, we become cold. And then we become hard. You go from dry to cold to hard. And when you're hard, you're like a rock. Now you sin and don't feel conviction. Please, don't go beyond dry. If you dry up, get back to the river. So, R. E. Torrey said, three conditions. Hard, cold, hard. Dry, cold, hard. You go first, you dry up, then you ice up, then you harden. But there's an answer to all three. It's God's word. Because in Jeremiah he said, isn't my word like a fire? And isn't my word like a hammer? Thank God he can break that rocky heart of yours. He can break that stony heart of yours. So if you've lost the moisture, get back to the river. If you've lost the fire, get back to God's presence. He's a burning fire. And if you're hard in your heart, there's hope, for the hammer is still alive. He'll break that rocky heart of yours. But it's up to you. It's up to you. The Word clearly states, oh, this is so important, friend. I mean, you know, you wonder why people forget what God has done for them? The word declares they soon forgot, and now the trouble starts. But look what happens after that.
They waited not for his counsel.
Aha! The minute, hear this. The second you forget what Jesus did for you, that's when you quit praying. Because it says they won't wait for him now. They didn't wait for his counsel, didn't go to him for advice and counsel. And what happened then, Fred?
But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness.
That's when sin got in. Prayerlessness produces sin and lust. See, here are the steps. Watch them, and they're all there. They forgot his works, they quit praying, and they began lusting. All right, Fred?
And they tempted God in the desert.
My goodness, keep going.
And he gave them their requests.
Ah, that's his permissive will. But he sent what?
Leanness into their soul.
Fred, read that verse again, would you?
He gave them their request.
No, read it. Just read the one before that and then read that one.
But lusted exceeding in the wilderness, tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their requests and sent leanness into their soul.
So what brought them out of God's will, perfect will? Two things. They forgot what he did for them, and they quit praying. And now they began lusting, and they began tempting, and they began demanding. I want it now. And God gave them their request. God will allow you sometimes to go your own foolish way. But it'll bring with it great spiritual loss. Great loss comes with it. That's what happened one day to a man named Balaam. Turn to Numbers 22. I'm going to show it to you. Oh, people, I pray the Holy Spirit will use this to stir you on the inside. Get you back to where you ought to be with God. Quit playing games and running around. Get back to that precious walk. You know, I'll tell you something. It's not just finding God's perfect will we need. It's staying in it. When God called me into the ministry, I obeyed that call and I followed God's perfect will. But you know, 20 years ago, I began preaching. This December will be 20 years. This December, this year, will be 20 years. I was 21 years old when I began preaching. But do you know something? Here's the danger, choir. Here's the danger, saints. The danger is I can still blow it. I mean, 20 years would be all gone with one act of foolishness. Think about it. You can miss everything God has done with you. You can blow it all with one foolish act. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Why waste 20 years of your life and destroy your tomorrow and your family with one foolish act? But many have done that. You see, I believe as long as men pray, as long as women pray, as long as preachers pray, God will keep them. That's the key right there. So you say, Benny Hinn, how do you do it? People, it's not I doing it. I depend on him to do it. And as long as I stay dependent, as long as I pray, I'm okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. There was a man in the Bible named Balaam. Balaam began right, but ended up wrong. And let me show you God's perfect will and permissive will all in like a few verses of Scripture. Can I? All right. Let's begin at verse 10. And Balaam, this is chapter 22 of Numbers. Everybody look at a Bible. Everybody get a Bible. If you don't have your own, kind of peek over your shoulders, friend there, your friend's shoulder. Look in their Bible. And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Preadventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, Balaam had been called by Balak. And Balak said to Balaam, who was the prophet, he said, come with me and curse the people of Israel, because if you curse them, I can overcome them. And God said to Balaam, no, don't go with them, nor listen to them. Now, that's God's perfect will, isn't it? It's like someone coming to your house and saying, come with me to a party. You're going to have a wonderful time. And God says, don't go. But watch what happens now. And Balaam, verse 13, and Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. It's very, very smart. And he was right in not to go with them. Verse 15 says, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than this. Now watch this. You know, the devil may come to you and say, why don't you do this? And God will say, don't do it. And you'll obey God. But see, the devil doesn't give up. The devil will send you, listen, the devil will send you some other devils if you say no to the first group and you obey God. He'll send you another group that is a little more influential to pull you in. And that says this. And they came, this is verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. In other words, they said, don't listen to God. Don't listen to anybody. Don't let a thing stop you from coming. God already said, don't go. But now, they're saying, well, don't listen to God. You know, come anyways. Now watch verse 17. And this is what sometimes the devil will do too. He'll offer you something. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And God already told him not to go. He already said, no, I'm not coming. But they wouldn't give up. They said, hey, listen, don't let a thing stop you. And if you do what we tell you, we're going to give you great honor and anything you ask for. Look what Balaam does now in verse 18. He's still a good boy, though. He hasn't changed his mind yet. It didn't take long before he does. Watch this. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. And here's where the problem begins, verse 19. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. He knew what God had said. But he said, well, maybe God has changed his mind. Boy, he heard about great honor and anything you want. He said, well, that sounds too good to refuse. It's like the devil coming and saying to you, you know, if you'll do what I tell you, I'll give you this and this and this and this and this. You say, oh, God, I know you said no, but just in case, you know, why don't you change your mind so I can... Greed gets in.
Please turn your tape cassette over for side two.